Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just want to thank you, Lord. We today have an attitude of gratitude for all your goodness, all your mercy, all your blessings. Let your river flow. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, welcome to Lots of Love Ministries. I pray that you have had an awesome week advancing the kingdom in your sphere of influence. But maybe you haven't. Maybe this week has left you feeling empty, drained, or spiritually parched. If that's you, if you're carrying burdens that feel too heavy, or if your soul is crying out for something more, lean in close. Today's message isn't just another sermon. It's a divine invitation to find what your soul is desperately seeking. Have you ever been so thirsty? Nothing else matters. Not your phone, not your schedule, not even your next meal. Just water. That desperate, primal need for something so basic yet so essential to life. Now imagine being stranded in a vast desert, the sun beating down mercilessly. Your throat is so dry it hurts to swallow. Your lips are cracked and bleeding. Every step becomes a battle as you search desperately for water. This wasn't just some survival show scenario. This was real life for the Israelites wandering in the wilderness. And if we're honest, it's where many of us find ourselves spiritually right now. While we might look put together on the outside, we know how to smile at church, don't we? We know how to say the right things. We can turn our spiritual tap and go through the motions. But deep inside, we're in that desert and we're dying of thirst. Here's the beautiful thing. Yahweh sees in your heart, into that desert there. He knows your thirst, and he hasn't left you to figure it out on your own. Through the centuries, from the dusty wilderness of Exodus to the sun-baked well in Samaria, he has been pointing to one solution, one source, one life-giving stream. Go to the rock for water. This isn't just a cute spiritual metaphor or a suggested self-help strategy. This is a lifeline. This is Yahweh himself standing in your desert, beckoning you to himself, our rock, our eternal source of living water. And today, right here, right now, he's inviting you to come and drink deeply from waters that will never run dry. Picture the scene. The Israelites are wandering in the desert, their water supplies exhausted, children cry from thirst, adults grumble and complain, their livestock are near death. In this moment of crisis, Yahweh doesn't tell them to dig wells or search for hidden springs. Instead, he commands Moses to approach a specific rock. This wasn't just about physical survival. It was setting a pattern that would echo through the ages. In Exodus 17:6, we read, "Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink." In Psalm 78:15-16, David remembers, he split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. He made streams come out of the rock and caused waters to flow down like rivers. And again, he talks about it in Psalms 105:41, that he opened the rock and water gushed out. It flowed through the desert like a river. And here's the deeper meaning. Notice how Yahweh says, "I will stand before you there on the rock." This wasn't just about the physical rock. It was about divine presence, The rock represented something, or rather someone, far greater. Every drop of water that poured from that rock was a prophecy of the living water that would one day flow from the Messiah himself. Yeshua, the rock that still gives water. The Apostle Paul pulls back the curtain on this mystery, revealing that the rock Moses struck wasn't just any rock. It was a prophetic picture of Yeshua himself. Think about it. The rock had to be struck for the water to flow, just as Yeshua had to be struck for our salvation to flow freely. 1 Corinthians 10:4, it says, "And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Messiah." 1 Peter 2:4-5 says, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by Yahweh and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house." And Isaiah tells us in 28:16, "Therefore, thus says the Lord Yahweh, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed. The one who believes in it will not be disturbed." Perhaps one of the most powerful illustrations of this truth comes from Yeshua's encounter with the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. Here was a woman who had come to draw physical water, just as she had done countless times before. But this day was different. She had an encounter. It's high noon, the hottest part of the day. Most women would draw water in the cool of morning or an evening. This woman comes when she's least likely to encounter others. She's an outcast, carrying the weight of her past relationships and her current situation. But she's about to meet the rock himself. And I'm not talking about the rock we see on TV today. I'm talking about Yeshua. In John 4:10-15, Yeshua answered her, "If you knew the gift of Yahweh and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?" "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." This woman's encounter with Yeshua transforms her from a social outcast to an evangelist. She leaves her water jar behind, a powerful symbolic gesture, and runs to tell others about the Messiah. The very thing that brought her shame becomes the platform for testimony. When we go to the rock, we find not just any water, but living water. Water that brings eternal life and transforms us from the inside out. In John 7:37-38, we read, "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Yeshua stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.'" And in Revelation 22:17, it says, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life." But how do we go to the rock today? We go through prayer. Prayer isn't just talking to Yahweh. It's positioning ourselves before the rock, ready to receive. Like Moses, we must approach with expectation and faith. Sometimes we need to be still and know that he is God. Other times, we need to cry out in our thirst. We go through scripture, Yahweh's written word is itself living water. When we immerse ourselves in scripture, we're drinking directly from the source. Each verse, each story, each prophecy is another stream flowing from the rock. As we study and go deep into each chapter, crying out like Moses and David for God to show us his ways, life-giving revelation from Holy Spirit will draw us closer to him, and he will answer our heart's cry to know his ways. And when we know his ways and experience this life-giving water, what the world has to offer will become less and less appealing. We go through worship. I am a worshiper, so this subject is near and dear to my heart. True worship positions us to receive from the rock. Like the woman at the well, we must come in spirit and in truth, ready to leave our empty vessels behind and receive something far greater. Choosing songs that speak to Yahweh or songs that lift up and exalt Yeshua rather than songs that are self-focused or future-focused will quench our thirst better and longer than songs about how blessed we are or promise someday I'll fly away, oh glory. Those songs may be true, but they are as temporary a drink as the water the woman was drawing from Jacob's well. They may make you feel good, but the purpose of worship is not to make yourself feel good. It is to worship our Creator and exalt his name, that he might draw all men unto himself. Father's looking for those who will worship in spirit and in truth. He is looking for a devoted bride. And when we express our love for him in song or acknowledge who he is in music, he is drawn to us and our relationship with him is strengthened. This is what quenching a spiritual thirst is about. Relationship that also comes through community. We aren't meant to drink alone. Early believers devoted themselves to fellowship, breaking bread together and sharing all they had. When we gather with others who draw from the same rock, the living water flows more abundantly. When our thirst is quenched, we have the capacity to love, and our love is shown in such a way that unbelievers will notice and know that we are his disciples because we have love for each other. As it says in John 13:35, we model something that the world is thirsty for, and they are also drawn to Yeshua. When we go to the rock for water, we receive complete satisfaction for our spiritual thirst, renewal that reaches the deepest parts of our souls, power that transforms us from the inside out, living water that overflows to others, a testimony like the woman at the well, a heritage like the Israelites in the wilderness. The directive to go to the rock for water resonates more powerfully today than ever before. In a world parched for meaning, hope, and purpose, Yeshua stands as our unchanging rock, the source of living water. Like the woman at the well, we might come carrying our empty vessels and heavy burdens, but we can leave transformed, carrying living water instead. The invitation echoes through time. Come to me and drink. The question isn't whether the water is available. It's whether we'll make the choice to go to the rock. Will we continue trying to satisfy our own thirst with broken cisterns that can hold no water? Or will we go to the true source? Let us be a people who consistently go to Yeshua, our rock, for the living water only he can provide. And as we drink deeply from his presence, may we, like the woman at the well, become so filled with living water that we can't help but share it with others. For in the end, the rock isn't just a source of water. He's the source of life itself. Let's pray. Abba, Father, our rock and our Redeemer, We come before you with grateful hearts. Thank you for being our unshakable foundation, our constant source of living water in a dry and weary land. Thank you, Yeshua, for being struck so that living water could flow freely for us all. Lord, for those who come today feeling parched and empty, I pray that you would fill us afresh with your living water. Let it bubble up within us like a spring that never runs dry. For those carrying heavy burdens, we thank you that at the rock we can lay them down and drink deeply of your grace and mercy. Yahweh, help us to remember that we don't need to wander in the wilderness searching for satisfaction. You've shown us where to go. To the rock, to Yeshua. Give us the wisdom to come to you daily, not just in moments of desperate thirst, but as our constant source of life and strength. And Lord, like the woman at the well, transform us from people who simply receive to people who share. Let your living water flow through us into our homes, our workplaces, our communities. Use us to point others to the rock where they too can find eternal satisfaction. We thank you that you never grow weary of our coming, that your supply never runs dry, and that in you, Yeshua, we have all we need. May we leave this place today not just refreshed, but transformed, carrying rivers of living water to a thirsty world. In your precious and mighty name, Yeshua, our Messiah, amen. Wow, I truly hope and pray that you found living water in this message today. This week, continue to drink from the well that will never run dry, Yeshua, in prayer, in worship, and in personal Bible study. And as always, may there be shalom in your home.